Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Still be a nice guy. And a douchebag.
That's true.
There's more than one way to be a douchebag.
I'm a friendly douche. Eric, the friendly douche.
This needs to be the opening.
Kyle, the shit sandwich. So who's your vote? Douche? Yeah. Giant douche or shit sandwich?
We can't steal from South Park, Eric.
Dude, South Park won't
South
care.
South Park is complaining about this. You guys have made it.
Right. Yeah, see? No such thing as bad press.
Match race.
Can you imagine?
We're on their next episode.
We just get like a cease and desist from South Park.
Or dude, they would just put us in an episode and make fun of us until
they would open up this like one small thing and just be like, "Who the fuck are you?"
Yep. But they would even look up pictures of us. They would just like model us what they think we look like based on our voices.
Oh, 100%.
Well, we know one guy's bald and one guy wears a hat. And that's it.
Right.
That's all we need to know. And their guest star is Mexican. We got this.
Done.
It's easy. That sounds like a sitcom.
Put us back at the desk. Let's do it.
Also, I do have my complete list of the Pokemon done.
Sick. That's the end of the episode, so
okay,
just hold on to that.
You're teasing that now.
Yeah.
I can't read my handwriting for like half of it, but we're good.
Alright.
I don't even know if I spelled half of them right.
As long as you know what they are, that's fine.
Yeah,
luckily this is spoken. If you wouldn't have said it, nobody would have known.
Yeah, you're right.
We wouldn't even know that those Pokemon existed without you, so.
True story, we're not good on the new ones.
I feel like at least one of these you'll have heard of or seen. Maybe two.
I know, like, some of Gen 2 and 3, and then after that, it's like,
I feel like
I may
you
have
know,
seen them.
I feel like when you hear my Gen 4, you'll know what it is.
Okay. Are they legendaries?
I only picked one legendary.
No, let's just move it on. We'll talk about it when we get to it.
Sneak peeks.
Woo!
Do you have a cool story for us too, or is that was enough?
Okay. So middle of my singles round at Nats. So this is North Carolina, right? There's different wildlife that we've got here in Michigan.
I seen a bear on something.
Yeah, there were my buddy Sherm, they were there's like a little like driving range and they found a bear. They also found a pig somewhere.
Oh.
I wanted to see the pig, I wanted to pet it.
Oink.
So basically almost the entire course follows this river. I'm teeing off with the river behind me. As I'm in my backswing, I just hear rustling and like almost my cardmates freaking out and I rip it. And I turn around, I'm like, what the hell was that? And they're like, dude, so sorry, there's a snake back there. I'm like, no, you're... And they're like, snake. And they're like, all right, away. I'm like, where? They're like, right there. And this thing's like 3 to 4 feet long. I'd say an inch or two thick. Just straight black.
All right, I'm about to take the headphones off. Nope.
Well, no. I just go, oh, that's a danger noodle. And I just started chasing after this thing as all my other car mates like ran the other way.
Yeah, Kyle's deathly terrified of snakes.
Are you? Yeah. So Kyle, so is one of my buddies on my team, and he was on the hole behind me. So I'm like, this thing better get out of here or Tim's going to have a panic attack.
Yeah, Kyle's terrified. He's like the Indiana Jones of the Ono disc golf world, except he doesn't have a whip.
Whatever cowboy hat, I guess it would be called.
That's hilarious. That we're going for? I do. I have a sun hat.
Okay.
Yeah, he does have a sun hat.
I
don't know
hat
that
now.
He's broken into any tombs, so
I've tried.
I'm just...
Allegedly.
I love all animals. Like, even if they'll kill me, I'll try petting them.
Come here, bear. Come here, you big fluffy bear.
Exactly.
It will literally rip your face off.
I mean, most stuff is...
They don't have enough arms or legs.
I feel like most animals are docile unless you provoke
you're
them.
You're correct.
Chasing them sounds like you're provoking them or a possibility of provoking them.
Nah, you
ever
just
seen
got...
Elf when he tried to hug the raccoon?
That's what I was just about to reference. I was going to say, you just got to come out with a friendly demeanor like Will Ferrell and Elf.
That didn't work for him.
And if I die by a trash panda, then I've lived my life successfully.
You know,
worth it.
Yeah.
In your eyes.
Kind of a completely off topic story, but a local baseball player is on a farm team. Mm-hmm. And they're the Rocket City Trash Pandas is the team he plays for. He's like,
that's
no
amazing.
Way. That's crazy.
That's amazing.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah, so.
But yeah.
Do you want me I'll to go. Introduce the show?
Can I introduce the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, Garza, introduce.
Yeah.
Us.
Let me remember how Kyle does it. Hello, you beautiful fucking people. Welcome to Oh No Disc Golf. I'm Garza Disc Golf, joined by Kyle and Eric. I have no idea what we're talking about today. Probably about me, since I'm on here. Let's fucking get it.
Yep, he's pretty much right.
I love it.
He's pretty much right in all the things. We're going to be talking about him, and you guys will just have to sit around and find out.
And listen to my dumbness.
Our dumbness.
Fair enough.
So, what's more important to you talk about? Your spring break weekend or week or college nationals? We'll get to both of them.
Spring break.
What do you want to kick it off with?
I'll kick it off with the better of the two with spring break. Because I didn't throw a 760 rated round on spring break.
Well, yeah, that's important.
Yeah. Let me think. So, spring break. We left on... What ended up happening was we left late Friday night for Grand Rapids to go meet up with a couple buddies and then head down to... We're heading to Kentucky from there. And I actually got pulled over going 85 down the Grand Rapids Highway. And got off without a ticket. That was cool.
Nice.
So we get to our team mom, Brophy's house.
I thought you were going to say like you got beat up or something.
No. No. I've taken enough classes to know how to act around the club.
Yeah, that's what you're going for, right?
Yeah. Criminal justice, law enforcement.
Well, that's good.
Anyways, we get down to Brophy's house. And it's like 10:30 at night. We're chatting and he's like, I'm like, okay, Brophy, what's the plan? Like, we didn't really have an itinerary go out or anything. And he's like, so, we're going to Kentucky tomorrow. After Kentucky, we're going to North Carolina because Leonard booked us the entire lodge and the two mat courses all to ourselves Sunday through Tuesday.
Wow.
So it's just like, oh. And he's like, yeah, and that's like food included and everything.
Dang.
That's pretty cool.
That's a fancy spring break.
Yeah. So we get down to Kentucky. We were supposed to hit up Idlewild, actually, but there's a tournament going on at Idlewild, and it was a night, like an extremely nice day where we kind of figured, even if we get there late, there's still going to be people there, so let's just find another course. So let me look up on UDisc what course and we went to was called. We went to a different course. I think it was like Lincoln Ridge. That I might be completely wrong, but...
No one will know.
We probably say things that are wrong all the time.
Yeah, that's
all
fair.
All the time.
Yeah, Lincoln Ridge Park. I was correct. Let's go.
See?
We just played some doubles there, and it was unbelievably windy, where one of my buddies tried throwing an Anheuser into a tailwind and just completely sent it 100, 200 feet into the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And so that was funny. And so we finished up there, went to the hotel, stayed at the Nana Hotel, and then started the trip up North Carolina. And when we got there, they're like, all right, we got Clemson meeting us up here, actually. So what we ended up doing was our top couple guys that we had there partnered up with a couple of their top guys, and then we just partnered up with random guys on our team and played the course. And the area there is absolutely beautiful. Like, it's just, it used to be a ball golf course.
I was going to say, it looks like a ball golf
course. Yeah. And it's just absolutely stunning. Like, it was so much fun. We stayed there. We were trying to actually get that place for Nationals, but Liberty, like, booked it out for the next couple of years. But the lady liked us so much. She's like, hey, I'll try figuring something out, like, so both of you can stay, or we'll just do, like, food and such for, like, next year. They're like, that's cool. There's a little kitty cat on premise, which was fun. They also had just, like, they had a couple dogs. I don't know if it was, like, the pro shop owner's dogs or what, that just ran around the course. They didn't bother anyone. They always made sure to stay out shots and never picked up disc or anything. They just come up, say hi, and then leave. So that was kind of cool. They were also really cute.
Duh, they're dogs.
Yeah.
All dogs are cute.
We stayed there until Tuesday, and then we shot down for South Carolina because we had Tiger Town Throwdown at the end of the week, which was like one of the last collegiate tournaments before Nats of the year.
Really quickly, what is the name of the course that Nationals was on?
North Cove Disc Golf Course. Okay,
cool. Yep. Anyway, South Carolina
Tiger Town Throwdown at, let me remember the name.
That's okay.
Tis at...
Literally no worries.
It's going to bug me. Grand Central Station, which was really cool. Like, it was kind of right next to a train station. So, like, they had the freight course and then they had the locomotive course. And so that was just really cool, like, little theme.
Right. Did you have to shoot around any trains?
No, thankfully. Yeah. That was also just a really nice course. And, like, I hadn't played well when we were at the Nats courses, but once we got to those courses, it was a lot more my style, a good chunk of forehands and just like straight shots. And I started playing decently. There was one hole that was like 600 feet downhill, and Buddy Patrick put it pin high with a forehand and a backhand. So that was just very demoralizing to watch.
Hmm. You said he's a big guy, so
yeah,
like they can get some distance on the disc easily.
He has like a 600 foot forehand and backhand, so it happens. Yeah, he's nutty with distance.
I mean, that sounds like cheating.
Yeah, you'd imagine.
But he's cheating. He's too big.
It's magic.
But so I was on the D team for that as well, and like the entire weekend, the D team and the C team, we're just constant shit talking to each other. We're like, oh, we're going to beat you, blah, blah, blah. And like, you have a 12% chance of beating us. And like, we didn't expect to beat them. So the entire week, it's like 60, 70 degrees sunny. Then we check the weather for the tournament. 40 degrees and 40 mile per hour winds.
There you go. That'll put you back in your Michigan elements.
Yeah.
Right.
So they split us up into two quote divisions because we had 108 people on an 18 hole course. So obviously that's not going to work out in any way. That's going to not take forever. So they split us up in between division one and division two. Not that it actually meant it. C team and D team were in division two and they started us off on singles. The lesson that our coaches were trying to drill into our mind the entire weekend was lay up and take par. Because with those conditions, par was going to win.
Oh, yeah.
Very first hole.
It's good advice.
Yeah, no, it was. But anyways, very first hole, it's like a 200-ish foot shot with like a mando tree, like basically diagonal, like 10 feet off of, not 10 feet, but like 50 feet off the tee pad that you had to go left of. And you got OB left side the entire way. So I just throw a pig against like 35 feet out. And in the meantime, one of the holes behind me, our coach was taking videos because it's like a little island hole that's very aceable, and all he wants is just a video on that hole of someone acing. And he comes up and talks to me. He's like, "Hey, where you at?" I'm like 35 feet out on my first shot. He's like, "All right, it's good. Remember, just lay up and take your pars." I immediately went up there and smashed that putt. So I started off my round with a two.
Disregard that liberal bullshit.
Yeah. And then, apparently, the day before, I had left one of my pigs and one of my myths at the course. And a couple of my guys picked it up and didn't hear me freaking out about it until we were already at our holes. And so I texted our group chat, like, "Brophy, can you get me my pig and get me my myths?" Like, "Yeah, I'm on my way." And so second hole, he meets me up and he watches me play the hole. And it's like uphill to the left, like 250, 300 feet, let's say. It was probably like 250, play 300. So I throw a sidewinder up there, it gets caught up and just lands like right at the corner. And I walk up to the shot and the coach is still watching. And I'm lining up a pig shot, turn around, go back to my bag, put it back in my bag, pull out a myth, and jump putt it, and nearly cashed it. So it's like I'm already throwing that shit out of the window, just laying up and such. But
it went team full send.
Yeah, team full send. But anyways, it's I took my three.
I keep hearing this word layup. I've only ever seen it in writing.
I don't know what this means. I'm pretty sure it's a basketball term.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, so I started on hole 16, and through hole 9, I was even. Nice. And then my coach Brophy comes up to me. He's like, "You're shooting fairly well." I'm like, "I'm just going." And he makes the mistake of showing me the score.
Oh, no.
I hate that.
It's all over.
I'm fourth. I'm in fourth for the guys playing singles, down by three. And so I go up to my upshot. I'm sitting underneath a tree, maybe 100 feet out, not even. I'm lining up a pig shot. I'm looking in my head. I'm like, "All right, you're going to clip the tree, put a little more on it than you usually would." Missed the tree completely.
Crank that baby, I bet, huh?
Went 40, 60 feet deep. Ran the putt back because it was tailwind, sat right next to the basket, tapped in my four. Next hole is pretty difficult par four. You have to basically lay up to the mouth of the woods and throw in, and it's a very fast green. So I was just a little left of the mouth, and I'm standstilling, and I have my 2018 Firebird, and like from where I am, I feel no wind. That was a very heavy headwind tunnel. Ah. I put my Firebird just a little bit of ante, and it did not come back. So I scrambled. I had to take two shots to scramble, and then I made like a nice 20-footer for my five, another bogey. So now we're plus two. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah,
I think I missed a couple of bogeys in there. I think I was higher than plus two at this point. Because, yeah, I definitely was. But, so we get
to... So things turned quickly.
Yeah. I definitely missed, like, one or two holes there, I think, if I'm right. But anyways...
Best to move past them.
Yeah. Next hole, I made a nice birdie. These last three holes have just been the bane of my existence the entire week. Bogey, bogey, bogey.
Oh, no.
I think I ended either plus six or plus seven, but I was tied for seventh in Division Two. It was like a 9-13 rated round, which I still think is going to go up a little bit. But the big thing was, so how they work college disc golf tournaments is they play one round singles and then some round of team dubs, and it's the average of all those scores. So after I finished, I tied C team's top guy, beat my roommate who was also on C team by one stroke. And then like my other three guys were all plus eight, plus nine, plus 10. And their last two guys were like a plus 10 and plus 13. So we immediately jumped out to, I think it was a 4-stroke lead. We go into next round and play team dubs. We open up the lead even more to a 6-stroke lead. And so we're fairly comfortable now.
Right.
And so we're like, guys, we just have to play par golf tomorrow, and we're good. And that's all we did.
So now you know how to lay up.
Yeah, basically. Like, I literally had to make, I took one putt the entire last day just because I went, decided to go first. I top banded it, and then my partner made it, and he just cashed everything else. Like, we were so on. I think C-Team did get a couple strokes on us, but we ended up still beating them in the end. But we, like, we had not let them live that down. But
who was your partner in dubs?
It was my buddy Eli. It was me, Eli Williams, DG on Instagram. And then our teammates were Michael Judge. I can't remember what his Instagram is. They only have personal Instagrams. And Timothy Link were our other two buddies. And so, yeah, we ended up placing like mid pack altogether, our D team, like beating out multiple A teams. I ended up, I think, taking like tied for 6th or 7th on the team overall out of 16, which is pretty cool. I placed 32nd out of 90 altogether for the tournament. So I was fairly happy about that.
Nice.
But one of the coolest things was we only had one girl with us. Everyone else was playing dubs while she was just playing singles. And she won in a 3-hole playoff.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Who was it?
Rachel Dupree.
Yep.
Yeah. That was just the coolest thing to end spring break on. We were all extremely excited for her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that was a very good feeling. I didn't have to make a ton of putts. I missed a couple stupid putts. I ran a couple putts that I shouldn't have. Oh, yeah, I did take a 5 on a hole where I should have taken where I could have easily just laid up and taken a 4. But, you know, the wind dropped, and then I tried running it and completely whiffed it and went circles edge again. So we just turned around and laid up.
And I'm pretty sure you just recently switched putters.
Yes, I did.
Did you feel pretty comfortable with them, or?
Yeah, I've been liking them a lot. I wanted to find a putter that was more available than the Fireflies, and I was talking about that in our group chat, and Ryan, who has just switched to Penroses, is like, why am I miss? Like, okay, I tried them, I liked them, and bought 24 off of them.
Nice. It's always nice to get a nice big stack of putters.
Yeah, it was a good time. So, anyways, that was basically spring break.
Wait, I have a quick question. So you said
this is a good break.
One of your teammates was Michael Judge.
Yes.
Does he putt with judges?
He actually does.
And got my name on a disc.
He actually putts with Wizards, but we're getting him to switch here soon. Right. You gotta buy just a set of white judges and just write Michael.
Or at least
Michael
like an EMAC judge.
Yeah, he likes the EMAC judges, but
okay. Yeah, we're like, you gotta just buy a set of white judges and just put Michael on top of all of them.
Oh yeah, dude. Now, isn't the name of the guy who wrote King Hill Mike Judge?
Wrote what?
The King of the Hill.
Oh. I'm a little young for that one.
I wasn't sure.
I know what you're talking about. I just never, like, really seen the show.
I'm a little bit too stupid to remember names.
Now I have to look it up. So no other cool stories from spring break?
I did drink, like, an entire fifth of vodka.
That's not a cool story. That sounds gross.
Did somebody dare you to drive?
No. I blacked out figured out what our teams were.
Yeah, that is too young for that reference, right?
You blacked out right after you figured out teams, huh?
Yeah, that's all. I just stayed awake to figure out teams and just fell asleep.
Hmm. Hey, at least you knew who your teammate was. It is Mike Judge, in case anybody's wondering who wrote King of the Hill.
Everyone cared. All the people cared.
I think he did something else too, but I can't think of it offhand.
The joke I just want to do is, my name is Judge. And that's from Arrested Development.
I don't know that one. I know of Arrested Development. I just don't know the episode or show enough. You know of it?
Well, yeah. Go watch more of it.
I don't think so. I'll pass. Hard pass.
You're wrong. That's a fact.
Oh, Beavis and Butthead. That's what he's famous, most famous for.
Which I always appreciated, but I never really enjoyed.
Appreciated, but never really enjoyed. That's funny. I was like the opposite. I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever watched, but enjoyed it still.
Like, I get it. It's supposed to be this most stupid thing. Like, I get it. But at the same time, it's not what I want to watch.
So that's all. I get it. That's all for spring break, Garza.
No, yeah, other. That's really all that happened spring break.
Enough Beavis and Butthead talk.
Yeah, we don't need to.
Don't need to talk go down about that rabbit anymore. Hole.
Yeah,
we can talk about worms and go down a wormhole.
You would like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, damn right.
Is it a gummy wormhole?
Yeah, damn right. Did we ask Garza what his favorite groundhog was? We forgot about that.
Yeah, what's your favorite groundhog?
I don't know. Is there more than just Fuckstein Phil?
Yeah, oh, there's a gosh, lot more.
You didn't listen to the episode, then,
did
you?
I did listen to it. I just can't remember it.
There's so many.
There's so many
choices.
Out in Colorado named Stormy Marmot.
I do remember that.
There's one from Ontario. Oh, his name just slipped my mind.
It was such a good name.
Something, two W's. It was two W's. That's all I remember.
I do vaguely remember all the other ones.
You said it so early on.
Yeah.
He was so... I love that he brought it up.
Dude, just didn't even... Yeah, no freaking shits given. Wyerton Willie. Wyerton Willie is the one from Ontario.
I think I'd have to go with that. That's a great name.
I'm so fucking proud of it.
Oh, listen, I don't want to get too dark on this show, but Wyerton Willie killed his cubs in 2003.
Oh.
If you go back and you listen to the episode, I talk about how it's like the biggest Wikipedia page for a groundhog, and it's because of that situation that it is.
So it's not a positive thing?
No, apparently not.
It's because of cub murder?
Sorry, Tub Nick genocide. And Jay. I don't want to hate to be the bearer of bad news.
No, I thought it was a great bit, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, dude, he came for us. Although he didn't say anything bad about Stormy Marmot, he just said something bad about Pugsitawny Phil, and I don't have any.
I mean, yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I don't got any. I don't got mine.
Kind of overrated as a gopher.
Yep.
As a gopher.
Aren't they the same? I'm pretty sure they're the same.
I don't know. Wait,
groundhog, gopher? I'm pretty sure it's the same thing. I always mix them up because I'm...
Now I'm curious. I don't think they are. I feel like gophers are smaller.
Maybe they're just a baby groundhog.
In your mind, everyone, just go back and pretend I said groundhog.
No, these things are definitely different. I'm looking at pictures of them.
What about a woodchuck?
Yeah, groundhogs are woodchucks. That's just their name.
Groundhogs are woodchucks? Is that the...
Yeah, that's just their name for them.
Okay.
How much wood?
If you Google groundhog right now, underneath it, it says riddle, and it literally just says, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck before catching? Yeah.
How much ground could a groundhog ground? Nope, doesn't work.
Good try.
Yeah.
They're not all winners.
Anyway, I don't know how many episodes we're going to talk about groundhogs for, but we got to save some groundhog for our next guest. So let's hear about college gnats.
That's like I'm reading groundhog facts right now.
Yep, see, that's what I did.
Did you know they can climb trees or swim?
This was a deep wormhole.
They can swim.
I mean.
And climb trees.
Wait, are they the same thing?
No, they're not the same thing as gophers. Groundhogs and woodchucks are the same thing.
So I was very wrong, is what you're saying.
Yeah. All right. Anyways. Collegiate gnats.
And what's college gnats?
College discography.
Got it.
national championships.
There you go.
So this was a very good start to the week. We were supposed to leave Saturday morning and drive down to Kentucky, go play Idlewild, and then drive to London.
I feel like I've heard this story before.
No, this time we actually do play Idlewild.
Oh, sick. I thought I seen you at Idlewild.
Yeah. And then drive down to London, Kentucky, and stay at night. So, Friday night, sometimes I have really bad insomnia. So, the D team was like a very late addition. We were only supposed to be bringing three teams to the point where I was supposed to be a substitute, which is extremely funny when you think about later in the story, which we'll get back to. So they're like, all right, we're bringing a D team just randomly. Like, they randomly decided on it just because of how much potential, like, they knew we all had. We had a good chance of doing well in D2 and everything. So they're like, all right, we'll bring everyone, but you guys have to drive yourselves, basically. We're like, okay, that's fine. So we decided, our buddy Timbo, he's like, well, can we take my truck? And then I'm like, all right, we can split up driving duties if you want. He's like, yep, that's perfectly fine. So anyways, so we're supposed to leave at 4:30. We were supposed to leave at 5, and I was waking up at 4:30 in the morning to get to go leave for Idlewild. And 2 o'clock rolls around. I still haven't slept. So I eventually just decide, screw it. We're not sleeping. And so I walk over to our gas station that's like a 2-minute walk away from my house up here and just buy a Bangin' or a Raven energy drink. So I buy those, make myself a bowl of ramen, and get picked up. We're on our way.
The Breakfast of Champions.
Yes. Yep. I literally have a Snapchat that's just unicorn, whatever the flavor was, and ramen. Breakfast of Champions. So we get going. I don't sleep out at all on trip because I've got the bang going through me. I got some food in me. I'm feeling very decent. Not even decent.
I feel like, have you seen Dumb and Dumber? Or are you too
young? I've not.
Okay, never mind.
Okay. And so,
moving past our ancient references.
Yep.
I know some old stuff. It sounds like whenever me and Tony are talking, so like he'll make a reference, like, you know what that's from? No? Oh, you're so fucking young.
Mm-hmm. Movies, forget man. That we're old now.
We aren't that old.
No, but we are. I just turned 28.
That's not old.
That's old.
You're like 3 years older than my brother.
That's old.
I think.
Your brother's old. I'm 3 years older than him.
Around like 11 o'clock, I open up the rain. And then we get to Idlewild around 1. And we were there way before anyone else. So we played like a couple holes, went back to start, and then got into doubles teams and started playing.
So at this point, you've been how many hours have you been awake?
Since, that's like 23? No, 25. Because I was awake around like noon on Friday.
Gotcha.
And so we play. It's an amazing experience. Like, I'm always happy to check off on a Pro Tour course off my list because that's just always a cool experience. And so we start driving and we stop like 2 hours away from the hotel. And my buddy's like, hey, Garza, yeah, can you drive? We want to go smoke. And I'm like, all right, but we're stopping at a gas station so I can grab another bang. Like, that's fine. So you get the guy 28 out and away for 28 hours running off of 3 energy drinks, ramen and McGriddle patties, and Chick-fil-A driving the rest of the trip. And I did it just fine. And as soon as we got to the hotel, I knocked out for like an hour. And I woke back up, hung out with the guys for a little bit, and then knocked right back out.
I was like, just an hour.
Yeah. So, wake up next day, and we're off to North Carolina. I had to drive for like the last half of it, and this course is literally right in the middle. It's like in a bowl, like of just hills and mountains. And so, like, that was extremely fun. Just windy, tight turns. it's not even pressing gas, going like 50 down the hills, just pressing on the brakes, just trying to make turns and such. So we finally get there. And then we were like, all right, let's go check out. Our coaches wanted us to go get into our teams and check out the new course. I hated it. I hate the new course, if I'm being honest. It feels almost gimmicky. Like, Eric, have you watched like any of the course was called The Gorge. Have you watched any of that coverage?
No.
Okay.
Where can everyone check out coverage really quick?
Central Coast Disc Golf has the singles rounds, and PGGA's YouTube channel has the doubles rounds.
Okay. Yeah, I watched like two or three of the videos from PGGA, but I don't remember them hearing calling it a gorge. I remember them talking about it, but
yeah, I didn't remember called them saying.
Yeah.
Go watch it. Just dropped today. Go watch the females finals between Ferris and Mizzou. You get to go see a couple of my best friends play for the championship, and you'll see me just literally in the background, just clowning around with a couple of my buddies. So anyways, we get there, and so hole one is a peninsula-esque island hole, 300-ish feet, very weird-looking island, and the hole is surrounded by, the basket itself is surrounded by rocks. Like, I'm not saying pebbles. I'm saying if you're behind a couple of those rocks, you cannot see the basket.
Ooh, so it's like a...
Yeah, so like we literally had to...
It's not just a boulder, it's a rock.
So we had to literally turbo putt over those to even get it in.
So did you practice your turbo putt?
Yeah, seriously. So there was problem number one. Hole two wasn't bad. Hole three, there's like a strip of 350 feet of land straight ahead of you that's all safe. And the basket's in a bunker.
In a bunker? Like a sand bunker?
In a sand bunker. And other than the strip of land that you start on, the only thing that's safe is the bunker. Everything else plays as hazard. So, yeah. That's not the only hole that's the thing. And during one of the river run holes, like, bunker is the only thing safe. It's Why? Weird. I don't know.
And like Why I did said, you do that?
Like I said, gimmicky. Like, it feels like everything that was supposed to be hard was just, like, a gimmick. So, like, honestly, it was kind of a cool hole, but it was kind of dumb at the same time. Hole four wasn't too bad. There was a decent-sized rock in the way of the hole, but not nearly as bad as hole one.
So, you should have just put the baskets on the rocks.
Yeah, exactly. And then, hole five. Hole five.
Yeah. Big fan.
You've got the tee pad. And a tree sitting 2 feet off the tee pad, right in front of you. And not a small tree either. Big fucking tree. So you got either just like throw a forehand flex or, and it's like, it's not even like an open field. You've got like 100 feet of like clearance, maybe not even. Like you're like a wide fairway and it just gets smaller as it gets there. So that was interesting. And then there's the rest of the course wasn't bad. Just at that point, there's another, they did that same thing with the tree and the tee pad again, like on hole 18 or 17, which was dumb again. But it was like after that hole, we were just like so tired. It was taking so long. We just wanted to get through it. So, and it really wasn't like that bad of a course. There was just a couple like really thick, bad things that stuck out to me.
How many times did you have to like play each course that was there? For like the weekend or whatever.
We never played River Run. I played one round of singles at the Boulders course, one round of team dubs at the Boulders course, and two rounds of team dubs at the Gorge.
Oh, so you had to play there twice.
Yeah. Anyways, we start practicing like the other courses, and we're playing Boulders with our buddy, with our coach Brophy. And he's like, are we putting anything on the line? I'm like, I'll put $5. We're like, okay, everyone put $5 on the line. And the entire time, the entire week, my drives are so on. I'm putting everything where I want it to. My upshots are great. My putts could use a little work, but they're still doing decent. And, like, to the point where I shot a +3 and my coach beat me out with a +2 after I kind of, like, had a weird hide spit out on hole 18 for a birdie to go into a playoff. It's so, like, I'm feeling good, though. Yeah. We play, like, for some reason, we went up and played another round after that, though. So we played 3 rounds in one day. Then we played another round the next day for one last day of practice, which, honestly, I don't know if it was the best. But, and so that night before the first round, we got to do is singles. We're at the B&B, and we're waiting for tee times, And eventually, they're like, oh, we got tee times. Let's find them. So I'm scrolling. And finally, I stop and I see a Ferris person. It's Ferris D team, Andrew Garza, 2:33 p.m. And I scroll up, another guy in D team, right card right behind me. And then for next 10 cards, Ferris guy. So I'm the first Ferris guy of the tournament tee off. And I'm like, I'm going to have literally everyone watching me on the first hole.
Can't handle the pressure, huh?
Oh, the nerves were high going into that. And so, like, I literally just locked in. I put my music on. And I'm just, like, just trying to chill out. Like, I've never gotten that, like, legitimately nervous about anything before. And, like, what helped, though, was my buddy Pat came up. And he's like, hey, you need a bag, bitch? I'm like, please, I'll take you. And so, first shot, little short. I lay up, I take my par. Cool, we got out of there. Next hole, I had like a 30-ish footer spit out for a birdie, which I was fine with. Like, I just wanted to look for a birdie, take my par, get out. Third hole, it's like a gap shot. I pump it out the gap into the open. I lay up a pig to about 5 feet, looking downhill. As soon as that my putter hit the chains, I could already see it coming right back out at me.
Ooh.
Spits out, take a bogey from 5 feet away. Okay, fine. Next hole, take par. Hole after that, take a really bad bogey because I stuck that putting. Hole after that, I took a bogey because it was like OB right behind the basket, and I launched my upshot knowing, hey, the worst I'm going to take is a 4 as long as I hit the putt, and it's an easy putt. So, like, I was fine with the 4 there. And then hole 7 was playing as one of the harder holes, and I parred it, so I was, like, really happy with that. Hole 8, I threw a backhand, went deep OB, tried running the putt, went OB again, and tapped in a 5. So we're already +4. Yeah, we're +4 through 8. I think my math's right there. Yeah, no, we're +5. We're +5 through 8. Double bogey. No, wait. That was a triple bogey next hole. Because I went OB twice, and then, yeah. So a triple bogey. And, like, at that point, I just kind of looked at Pat on my bag. I'm like, I'm just here. We're just having the experience. We're here for fun. I know how many people are going to be able to say A, they played a major, and B, they played a national championship for anything.
Right. I'll never be there.
Yeah. I par the next 2 holes, and then I had another like 10-15 footer spit out for a birdie on the next hole, take par. So I'm +10 going into hole 14. Hole 14 is a 600-foot downhill shot sitting on top of a little hill. My drive is very mediocre. Upshot sucked, but I'm still like 40 out, and I run the putt. Hits the ground right in front of the basket and rolls away. About 30. Completely whiffed the par putt. Laid up, took a 6. So we're at +12 now. Hole 15 is like a 280-foot up and to the right into some trees. Easy forehand. Left it maybe 30 feet short. Ran the putt. hits right before the basket, stands up, rolls away. Lay, basically lay up, take my floor.
I don't know. Sounds like those myths are just rollers.
Apparently. But anyways, so we're never plus 13. Get to the next hole. It's 300 feet, sitting right behind a bunker, playing hazard. Headwind immediately just wrecks my destroyer right into the bunker. Run the 40-footer, whiffed it. It goes right back into hazard. Hit a nice 20-foot uphill putt. Save my five. Yeah. So we're plus 15 now. Go into hole 17. Yeah, 17. Headwind immediately turns over my destroyer into OB. Completely whiff the upshot. So we're 40 feet out, not caring. Run the putt, goes into a bunker, miss the comebacker, tap in a 7. Plus 18 now. Drive on 18.
A perfect round.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? But it gets better. Drive on 18 is pretty good. Left my upshot short, ran the putt, 25 feet out.
It's like, you know, you come home, shot 18 today.
Yeah.
Yep. All you got to say.
Yeah.
So, well, here's the thing. Yep. On 18, I caged my putt for a par, tapped in another bogey. So I went more than perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah.
Flexing.
Yeah. I was just like, I just kind of... I bent my myth in half and yeeted it off the hill at the B&B. It was just kind of like, all right, let's try doing better in team dubs.
And team, did you?
First round at the Gorge, we shot plus 8, which was respectable. Our team was plus 18 overall at this point because I brought down our average so much.
Mm-hmm. That'll happen.
Yeah. So, like, we were satisfied with that. Could have done better. Conditions were not great at all. Fairly windy. We played with University of Montebello that day. Extremely cool. They were a really cool card to be with. So, the next day, we're at the Gorge again. And we start on hole 16. It's a 300-foot shot with the basket sitting on a bridge. If you saw what I shared earlier in the week, one of my buddies aced this one. That was on the 18. And so like we're actually playing with Great Lakes Christian College from Lansing this time. It was like cool. Uh-huh. We got another Michigan school, and like we were merely really cool guys. We could tell it was gonna be a fun round. We're chatting. And like, hey, we're getting the PGA Live set up. I'm like, here, hand it to me, I got it. And so I'm setting it up. And the coach from the air team was like, everyone was talking to, and the coach from the air team looked at the guy from my team that had this, like, just throw, like, what do you care? He's like, yeah, you're right. So I'm setting up, PGA Live, and all of a sudden, my buddy Michael goes and throws, and I just hear the sound of wood getting skipped off of in chains.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think nothing of it. I think nothing of it. I'm just trying to set up PGA Live. It's silent for a second. And then all of a sudden the card starts freaking out. I was like, wait, what the fuck just happened? And like, and I look up and I just see it sitting in the basket. I'm like, holy shit, no way that just happened. And so awesome. Like we're freaking out. So like that was just a great start to the round. All week, 17 and 18 have been playing as like some of the hardest holes. Like the first day we went plus 4 through them. That day we parred both of them with my 35 footer chaining out on 17 for a birdie. So we were psyched about that.
Right.
And then we just kind of played par golf for the rest of the time. Took like 2 bad bogeys, ended up plus 1. We were extremely excited. And then that's when we got the news about Tetlaff being disqualified. And so, like, that just kind of killed me.
Hashtag let them play.
Yeah, hashtag let them play. They took it, especially Tetlaff, they took it extremely well, actually. Like, I respect them for it.
Right.
And
I mean, what else are you supposed to do at that point if everything stacked against you? Just
right. There wasn't much they could do.
Head down and grind.
Yeah. And so basically, like, what TD told him, like, hey, you can play for fun tomorrow. Keep PJ alive. And we're like, fine. We're playing for fun. We're going to play in protest. We're sending three guys out there just to see how they do. And so are the three guys we send out. The team is of Zachary Benben, Caleb Merginer, and the single is Zach Sherman. They slayed. From what I heard was Sherm didn't miss a putt. He missed one putt and then was just cash from everywhere. They shot a neg nine, which would put them at 29 down altogether. Just amazing.
Right.
And then our girls that morning, they had to play. They played one round of Boulders team dubs, one round of and two rounds of River Run team dubs. And after the first round of River Run team dubs, they were 10 off the lead. They cut down to 5 after Boulders, and then cut down to 3, but came up just short of winning for the girls. And Mizzou ended up winning the girls as well. Oh. And we just kind of shot our round. We shot plus one at the Boulders course. And it started snowing in the middle of it in North Carolina. So we're just like, what the hell is this?
Just wanted to make you feel at home.
Yeah, seriously. And then we played with Oregon that last day, and they were just another just amazing card of people. It was an amazing experience. Got to meet a ton of new people. Got to see like guys like Burridge from Michigan, who I haven't seen in a while. A couple guys from Clemson that I knew. Toledo, Bowling Green. It's just another college disc golf is just also another amazing group of people. Except for Liberty, they suck. Fuck them. But yeah, it's just
allegedly.
Nah, they're known for like being stick up the asses. But yeah, it was
in your opinion.
Yeah, in my opinion, and a lot of other people's opinions. Apparently, it was just an amazing experience, and I was so happy to be a part of it.
So, really quick, how many rounds of disc golf?
Hey, that was a great way to sum it up, right there. Really,
yeah.
But go ahead, Eric.
How many rounds of disc golf over the what is it like a week? Is it a full 7 days that you go on these trips?
We were basically gone Saturday to Saturday. Let's see, one round at Out of the Wild. Basically, we played 1.5 rounds at on that Monday. We played 3 rounds all together that Tuesday. We played 3 rounds on Monday.
It doesn't have to be exact, just approximate.
Okay, 4 tournament rounds and about 9. We played about 9, okay. 5 practice rounds and 4 tournament rounds.
All right. That's a lot of disc golf, but I thought it was going to be in like the teens. By the way, you were talking.
No, thankfully, I'm already going to take like a little bit of a break this week. I was thinking about going to the Invitational, but I'm just like, nope, my arm's not going to do it.
Yeah, probably a good idea. Let everything rest, especially because spring break wasn't too much like far like what was it like 2 weeks in between the two.
Yeah, it was literally within a month.
Yeah. What is the coolest hole at Idlewild that you played now?
I want to honestly say hole one.
Okay, that's what I always think looks the coolest, but I never know.
Either hole one or hole 18. It has an amazing start and amazing end.
Gotcha. I believe it. Well, you got your list ready, Garza?
I do.
Then how many generations are there?
There are currently 8. And 9 is being released like later this year, I believe.
All right.
Insane.
Kyle, count us down. But it's top
3, 8
this time.
2, 1.
Top 8. So 4 our quote unquote top 5 this week. We had Garza put together the best disc golfer from each Pokemon generation because he knows more Pokemon than me and Kyle do.
So. I'm one of the biggest Pokemon fans. I've already played through the newest one a couple times.
Yep. So he's gonna give us the lowdown. Just going to pick one from each generation and start it off.
So this is in no particular order. I'm just going Gen 1 through Gen 8. I'll give a short explanation of why each. So for Kanto Gen 1, I went with Hitmonlee. Hitmonlee is the one of the first fighting types. He's the like brown oval thing with legs. So I picked him because
of the legs.
Yes, exactly. Because of the legs. He has so much strength in his legs that he can like push off so well. But also, in a lot of the 3D games, he's almost seen as almost having stretchy arms. So he can just reach back and just fling the disc, I feel like. And then his legs, he can engage his legs pretty well with putting, I feel like. Upshots and touch shots might be a little bit of an issue, but I feel like, especially put him on like a Jonesboro-esque course and he'll crush.
Do you think he could putt with his feet, though? Like, I think Big Germ was doing that, where he kicks the putter.
Yeah, he might be able to.
I want to see a soccer player play disc golf.
That would be cool. Alright.
Hook it up.
So, Gen 2, the Johto region, I chose Hitmontop, which was their introduction, which was a new Pokemon to the Hitmon line, and then they added like an evolutionary in Tyro.
So Hitmonlee was a bottom, and Hitmon top is a
top.
Got him. Power bottom.
God damn it! So Hitmon top was like an addition where he's like kind of his style is like the dance fighting, I feel like he throws like a perfect 360 or 720.
Yeah.
I feel like he might be in contention for like the highest amount of distance behind any Pokemon just for that fact if he can get a hold of it.
Do you think he throws upside down because he like spins on his head?
I think for distance he does. Anything else, I feel like he's just stands on his feet.
There you go.
Or maybe he throws like an Aerobi Epic and it just like flips over.
18
correctly.
Times.
Yeah.
Just like barrel rolls.
Throws an extremely beat up DX Wraith.
Yep. That's all he throws too. Just that. Puts with the two.
So, Gen 3, the Hoenn region. It started getting honestly harder at this point. Because a lot of they kind of started going away from like almost humanoid-esque figures. I wanted to, like, the main ones were, like, the starters, and I wanted to kind of keep away from starters as much as possible. So I have, like, two starters on this list, and this is one of them. I chose Blaziken. Again.
That makes sense. All fighting types.
Yep. Yep. Again, partially because of the legs. Well, all the humanoid ones I feel like could actually grip a disc are basically fighting types, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to choose.
Yeah, we got creative with like vine whips from Bulbasaur, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was great. Blaziken, just powerful legs, powerful arms, I feel like. Very fast, can do like the James Conrad-esque run up, but actually get more distance than Conrad can.
Which is no easy feat.
Yeah. What does it say? Oh, yeah. So for Gen 4, the Sinnoh region, another fighting type, I went with Lucario. I don't know. It's just, again, especially for Sinnoh, I had trouble figuring out. I was trying to, like, actually figure out, like, someone who could grip a disc and, like, have form and not just Vine Whip. But, and, like, Sinnoh was a kind of hard region for that because there, again, weren't that many, like, humanoid-esque figures.
Right.
So... That was kind of hard.
Bunch of dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's just bipedal. There weren't very many bipedal creatures. And like the ones there was like Ludicolo or Shiftry, who don't really have hands or arms. So that was kind of hard.
Well, we're still not convinced that Hitmonlee has hands.
I think he's shown to have hands. I'm looking this up now because I'm...
They're like these little ball things.
No. Oh, you're
Are
talking
those
Hitmon
hands?
Top. Oh. Hitmonlee definitely has hands.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, I guess you're right about it, my top. Anyways.
That's what the spinning's for.
Yeah.
That's what this podcast is for.
Figuring out how this works. So, for Unova, I chose Sock. Just, again, basically same reason as Lucario, more or less. I've never been a huge fan of Sock and Throw, because their names are dumb, and they look dumb, but I didn't have much to choose from. So...
Sorry, can you say that one more time?
Sock and Throw, or...
Yeah, Sock and Throw.
Yeah, that's literally the names.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never even heard of that, so...
Look them up. They're extremely boring.
Another fighting type.
Yeah, just another fighting type. They look like they're wearing geese and such, so... For Kalos, which is Gen 6, went with my first and only legendary Pokemon, or mythical Pokemon, as some people call them. I think this one is, at least. And Hoopa, which I hate that I chose Hoopa, because I hate Hoopa with a passion. He's extremely dumb-looking and extremely annoying, but it has, like, these little Hoopy rings that just throws everywhere, so obviously he's an easy pick for a disc golf team.
Right.
Like, that's, I feel like that's very self-explanatory.
Yeah.
He's
already trained to
play disc golf. Like, he just throws around his little hoopy portals. Like, he just throw a portal right next to the basket if it wants to cheat. So, for Alola, I went with my second and last starter Pokemon in Decidueye. He's the grass type starter. He's a grass ghost Pokemon, I want to say. He's got, like, his whole, like, kind of archer stick, so I feel like he'd be, like, extremely accurate at throwing and putting. Maybe not the furthest thrower. He does kind of have long arms, so he might be a pretty far thrower. But he's going to hit the fairway every time.
Nice.
And cash every putt, unlike I can. And then the last region, the Galar region, another kind of hard one. I could have easily gone with grass, like any of the starters, because they made all the starters kind of humanoid. But I hate the Galar starters with passion. I, through all my game plays and my playthroughs, I've found something to replace them and got them off my team so fast. Right. So, yeah, exactly. I ended up with going with Toxicity, which is probably the most other humanoid one. And if you look at, like, any picture of him, he looks like a stoner. So I feel like that just goes well with it.
He was born.
Good disc golfer.
Yeah, yep. He was born to be a disc golfer.
Oh, yeah. All right, now, out of those eight, which is the number one?
I would have to either go with Hitmonlee or Hoopa.
All right. All right.
Because I think Hoopa would have if I have to bet on them in a tournament, I would say Hitmonlee because Hoopa's going to get disqualified for cheating and teleporting his hoops and discs.
Freaking cheaters.
Cheats.
Freaking lefties.
Well, there you go. If
that's the list.
Hopefully you guys know more about Pokemon than we do, because I was like, I don't even know what he's saying at this point.
Yeah, are you just saying, like, random words? You could have just been saying random words.
You definitely could have made those up, and I would have known none the difference.
I mean, Sock definitely sounds like one.
I was like, is he saying funny, sock? Actually. Like, yeah. What I'm wearing on my feet?
I don't know if I can't remember if it's pronounced sock or sock.
No
way. Either way, it's a dumb Pokemon.
Yeah. But he's good at disc golf.
Aren't they all?
Don't you hate on some of my Pokemon.
No, I love Pokemon, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. They made some really dumb additions and some really good additions in the newest one. Like, a couple of my favorite Pokemon of all time come from the newest one.
Well, Garza.
We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Of course. Thank you for having me on. It's always a good time.
Thanks for coming back on. Sorry I was so sleepy.
It's all good. I feel that.
Yeah, we're really glad you had a lot to talk about, because
right.
I was going to be dragging ass through this show.
We probably would have. It would have been a 10-minute thing.
Yep. Is it just like that one vlogmas that I popped into?
Yeah. All we need is Garza to show up. He comes and saves us when we need him.
Let's talk about weird shit that's slightly interesting.
Yeah.
Groundhogs, worms.
Yo, have you guys talked about the Halo Polecats at all?
Nope.
Dude, those things are going for like $800 bin right now. It's insane.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny because I meant to bring it up last episode because I was talking about how we were talking about how memes are art and how basically memes created a Halo Polecat.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Well, do you want to plug all of your stuff real quick?
Oh, yes. All right. We got Garza Disc Golf on Instagram. We got Garza Disc Golf on YouTube. We got Garza underscore disc underscore golf on TikTok. We got Garza 112850 on Instagram as well. We got use code 112850 at thisbaron.com for 10% off. I think that's it. Go check out the Oh No Disc Golf Teespring. Probably go check out mine too, but there's nothing ever on there. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Sweet. Well, like always, always a joy to have you on, and we'll see you guys next week.
Garza, appreciate you.
Thank you guys for having me on. That was a ton of fun.
We'll catch you guys on the flip side.